I encourage you, if you will, to turn your songbooks to that number. Turn there and mark that number. We'll be singing that in just a few moments. And then, if you will, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to begin and spend our time this morning in the book of Proverbs in chapter 29. And specifically, verse number 18. Now, you say, well, the last couple of nights we've been talking about Romans chapter 8 and talking about that subject there so far as, as far as the spiritual mind, and where he says there that to be carnally minded is death and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We're still on that subject. But we're going to start in the book of Proverbs this morning, and I'm going to show you how that this connects with the spiritual mind. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, he says there, where there is no vision, the people perish. He says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so a very simple statement there made by Solomon that says that there's no vision, the people perish. Well, I want us to look into this verse. I want us to tear this apart and consider this morning. We're going to look at it together. And we're going to put it back together then, and we're going to make some applications to ourselves. And by the time we're done, I hope to show you that the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind, that God's teaching concerning the spiritual mind is something that's seen not only in the New Testament, also in the Old Testament. In other words, it's all through the Bible. And you look here in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to start, first of all, by asking this question. What is that vision? Where there is no vision, the people perish. What is that vision exactly? Well, sometimes people use the word vision. What they mean by that is the idea of someone who is maybe a forward thinker. Someone who, we talk about somebody, he was a visionary in his company, or he's a visionary, he's a leader of men in certain ways, whether it was in a business, or it was military vision, or it was something like that. And we think about vision like someone who can look out, look ahead, they can see down the road a ways, and all that. And that has nothing to do with this verse. Okay? When it talks about vision, in fact, in the ESV says prophetic vision. Some say guidance from God. Mr. Strong's, when he defines the word vision here, he says it's a dream or a revelation or an oracle. And so really that's the point. When we remember that God, especially in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through dreams and visions, then this makes perfect sense. In the book of Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 6, God says that. And says basically that really to any of my prophets and anyone, he's talking to Aaron and Miriam, he says, I spoke through dreams and visions and such. He said, I only spoke really to Moses face to face, as it were. He said, really, he's the only one. Everybody else I've spoken through dreams and visions and such as this. And you see this again in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, when promising what's to come in the last days, he talks about old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see visions. All right? Well, that's not just some strange, some vision of some sort that we can't describe. It's the fact that through God, through these dreams and visions, God was going to reveal his will and let it be known so it could be written, so it could be, they're given to the next generation and on. Well, that's what that's about. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1, you'll see the opposite. 1 Samuel 3 talks about the fact that in Samuel's day as a young man, and Eli was the judge, and Samuel was growing up, but he says in those days, he said the word of God was precious. There was no open vision. No open vision. All right, what's that saying? Well, God hadn't been revealing his will lately. That is to a certain person. Now, they had the written word already, what he brought them up to that point, but they hadn't had anything new in a while. And, of course, that's leading up to Samuel, and Samuel being a prophet and a judge and so forth. I'm being very deliberate right now in this, as you can tell. I'm being very deliberate so we understand that this passage is not using that word vision in any other way except to talk about God's revealed word, His revealed vision. That's what this is about. And so you think about this vision, or Strong says, this oracle, dream, revelation. Now you go to 1 Peter 4:11. What does it say? If any man speak, let him speak how? As the oracles of God. There's your vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So what is he saying? He's saying here where there is where there is a place where God is not being listened to, where there is people who are around and yet they will not follow what God says. They will not accept what the Lord says. They will not listen to what the Lord says. We don't want to be a part of that. He says that's the time when the people perish. And more on that in just a moment. So how do I get this vision then? Well, we already said it's an oracle or a dream or a revelation. Well, how would I get that then today? Well, how I get God's vision today is when I spend time in His Word. That's what was revealed, you remember? That's what was revealed to folks, and that was what was written down. Ephesians 3 and verse 4 is where the Apostle Paul says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Do you want to understand? Do you want to have Paul's knowledge? You want to have that kind of understanding? You want to have that ability? He said, you need to sit down and read. You need to read this word. You need to listen to it and follow it. That's what Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2 talk about. We discussed this last night, I believe, wasn't it? Where he talked about that under his word doth he meditate day and night. To meditate, to think about, to chew on that. Let me think about that. Let me sleep on it. That idea, to meditate, to study about it. Let me really get this strongly, or let me get this really settled in my mind as to what it is. That's how you get the vision. That's how that happens. When I want to hear what God says, and that's a key point right there. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, Cornelius has Peter into his house, you remember. And through the vision and all of that, and it gets, God says, send men to Joppa, Acts chapter 10, verse 6. And then it's Peter that has his vision, saying, and God saying through that vision, there's men that's coming to this house, you go with them, doubting nothing. And so he does come there in Acts chapter 10. He does get there, and Cornelius says, well, you have done well to have come. And he says, but now are we here, all here before this day, before God, to hear all things commanded thee of God. And notice that. Here, we are here. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. We are here to hear. See that? We are here, H-E-R-E, to hear, H-E-A-R. We're here to hear. That's why we're here. We want to hear. Well, what do you want to hear? We want to hear all things. Not just some, part, most, not just the parts we agree with, not just the parts that we like to hear. We want to hear all things commanded thee of God. Now, when Ed talks about that vision, that's the point. And here's Cornelius saying, we are here to hear. I want to ask you something this morning, friends. Why are you here? Are you here to hear? Or are we here for another reason? Sometimes people are here, but they're not here to hear. They're here for another reason. Sometimes they're here because they want to meet up with somebody. Sometimes people are here because they think this will be free babysitting. Sometimes people are here because they say, well, if I don't go, then I'll never hear the end of it. Or they say, if I'm not here, then I'm going to have Brother John and Stacy and some others and some of the brethren all, and they're going to be calling me up and asking me why I wasn't here. So they might as well just be here. See? Are we here to hear? Why are you here? See, that's the thing. What is this vision? It's that prophetic vision. I want to hear what God has to say. And I'm going to listen to it. This is the person interested in hearing God's word and then also telling folks about that same truth and letting others know. See, I've got the greatest message in the world. I have the greatest news that could be told. You know that? We're going to talk about that some more, Lord willing, as the day goes on. But I've got the greatest message that there is. I've got the greatest news. And why wouldn't I want to tell people about that? And if I'm excited about that and I'm happy about that and I want to follow what the Lord says, then I'm going to be telling people. I mean, I just got saved. I'm a saved person. Now, if you're a saved person, you say, well, I don't know exactly what I could say or ought to say or whatever. Well, listen, if you're a saved person, see me like you could tell someone else what you did to be saved. And that doesn't take a lot of intelligence. And that doesn't take a lot of, quote, schooling. And it doesn't take a lot of advanced preparatory. It doesn't take a lot of things like that. If I know what I did to be saved, can I not just tell somebody what I did? That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Now, if you can't tell somebody what you did to be saved, or you don't know what you did to be saved, then maybe we need to have a talk. You know what? Because if you don't know what you did to be saved, then you're probably not saved then. Because the Bible makes it very clear what's necessary to be saved, and whenever I do that, I should be able to tell somebody. And that's part of this vision. Where there is no vision, what happens? Point number two. Here's the result. What happens with no vision? Where there is no vision, where there is no open vision, where there is no revealed word, where there is no oracle, where there is none of that, what happens? Very next statement, the people perish. That's the King James, the people perish. Other versions say, the people cast off restraint. I have one that says, law and order disappear. Another one says, the people are uncontrolled. They're ungovernable, governable. They cannot be reined in. Here's the point. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's the point. Where there is no vision, where there is no oracle, where there is no revelation, anarchy. It's anarchy. That's what happens. And folks, you don't have to look around too far to see that God's Word, Proverbs 29:18, is exactly true. Look around you. We see people today involved in every kind of sinful activity you can think of. We've got folks, of course, drinking, lying, doing drugs, sexual immorality, unwed mothers and having babies and all of this is just running rampant. All kinds of disease that's connected with sexual sins and sexual issues. There's unscriptural marriages, unscriptural divorces. There's all and now the flavor of the month has to do with whether or not even know what gender you are. You know what? That's all an offshoot of the homosexual position, and it is a political movement, by the way. Don't fool yourself. It's a political movement, and that political movement called homosexuality has now morphed into not just, you know, if Adam and Steve can get married, now it is, do you even know whether or not you're male or female? I just don't know. Well, you know, I identify with, you've heard that, and you know, I might just be a man today, but then a little bit later maybe I'm going to be a woman. But then after a while, I might just not know. And don't you understand that gender is not gender. Gender is a spectrum. And so there's like 94 genders now. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. And there's going to be more pretty soon. They just hadn't thought of them all yet. But there's everything from asexual, which just means I'm neither. And then all the way to anything else you want to think of. Well, where did that come from? That came from people who have thrown off restraint. Because none of that's true. All this gender business, none of that's true. None of that's biological. None of that is genetic. None of that. That's just all in your head. Okay? Whenever you get down to it, and there's not but two chromosomes. You can have an XX or an XY. Okay? Now, I know there's such things as mutations and such, and I'm not I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about for the vast majority of everybody, you got an XX and an XY. That's what you got. All right? And at the end of the day, when they bury you and put you in a coffin and put your body in the ground, when that happens, you'll still now have dead either XX or XY. That's all there is. Okay? And no amount of makeup and no amount of chemicals and no amount of surgery is going to change what chromosomes you got. Now, that's a hard lesson for people to learn, but we've got to learn that. What has happened? Well, in that category, or again, drinking or drugs or smoking or sexual immorality of any kind, or just any of the things we could talk about, murders and thefts. I mean, go on down the list. Why do people act the way they do? Why is this going on? Why is this happening? Well, part of the fact is that people have just thrown away God's Word, and when you throw away God's Word, you cast off all restraint. And then we wonder why people act the way they do. Sometimes you'll have folks like this, and they'll come to the Lord, and they will be converted to the Lord, and they become Christians, what we'd say, later in life. But they come to the Lord, and they're a Christian, maybe the only Christian in their family. And hallelujah for that. They have learned the truth, and they want to get out of their wickedness, and they want to do what's right, and their sins are forgiven. So amen to that. But here's my point. They do those things. They look back at their life the way they used to live, and they look back and regret because they say, I didn't even know. I didn't know. I wasn't taught. That's right. The reason why we got into the trouble in the past that we did is because you weren't taught. We didn't know. And it makes a mess of your life without God and without the Bible. Folks, and you look around today, and I'm seeing this in Kentucky, and I'm sure you're seeing it in Tennessee, because when I lived in Tennessee, there were reports and things that came out that said that the state of Tennessee was second only to Nevada in the number of divorces. I don't imagine that's changed much. So, yeah, think about that. Second only to Nevada. Mm-hmm. Nevada's number one. So here is Tennessee. All kinds of divorces, all this, and they have, first husband, first spouse, what, husband and wife, first and second and third and fifth. And they went down the list. And, of course, the more divorces you get, the easier it is to do, and the more you get in the habit of doing that. And so divorce rate of a third or fourth marriage was astronomical high compared to the first marriage, and generally they said that's 50%. And so you just went on from that. How does that happen? How does that go on? It's because here's people living in the buckle of the Bible Belt and won't talk about marriage and won't teach their children and won't show them and bring them up, teaching them to respect God's law for marriage, one man and one woman for life. That's what it is. There's just no question about it. That's the problem. And I'm not just picking on Tennessee. I'm picking on Kentucky too, because Kentucky has much the same problem. And I take every chance. We've got some radio programs going on. We're able to have a daily radio program. And I get on the radio quite a bit and talk about marriage. Just one man and one woman for life. You know what? And you say, well, what about the exception? I know about the exception. We need to respect that. But I'm talking to people that don't even know there's a marriage law. So why don't we get the rule down first? You know what? And I've got some Christians that need to learn the rule. Well, let's learn the rule for a change. And you learn one man and one woman for life, you're going to get somewhere. And I take those opportunities because I think, listen, I'm trying to get these people to learn and come to the Lord. And then you get folks coming in and they hear Stacy preach and they hear the truth and they sit in these Bible classes and they say, man, that is it. That's the thing. That's the thing I need to do. And then they come in here and they say, this is for me. And then you get to talking to them and they're on their third marriage and they married somebody the third time, but that person's been married four times. And so, and then you've got more knotty problems. I mean, Einstein couldn't unravel all the problems. And what happened? This problem. I didn't know. You mean there's such a thing? I just thought was you get married and then you just, if you don't get along and you think you're immature or you just whatever, then you can try again. And go try again, find someone else that you love and try it again. Until you get it right. No. It's one man and one woman for life that's been taught since Genesis 2. But when it's thrown off, the restraint's been thrown off. And we live in a country now that five people, back in 2016, the last of June 2016, five people overthrew the will of 365 million. They sure did it. Five people in black robes decided anyone can get married and made it law. 365 million people said we didn't want it. And about any voting you want to talk about, state votes, county votes, about any voting time period you want to talk about, and the law came up for legalizing homosexual marriage, it voted down. The people never wanted it. But five people decided that you do. Think about that. So, I'm going to get off and get to preaching here in a minute. So, but you think about this. In addition to this, here's the lack of vision. People calling themselves spiritual. People calling themselves religious. Joining themselves to man-made organizations and on down the line. Somebody says, why are there so many religions today? Why are there so many religious groups? This is why. Where there's no vision. When there's no vision there, the people perish. When I decide, like King Henry VIII, that I want to make my own religion because I want to get married to somebody, and I just make my own religion, you've thrown off restraints. And that's exactly what he did. Look it up in history. That's exactly what happened. He didn't like it because he was married to this one. He wanted to get married to another gal, and the Catholic Church wouldn't let him. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a king. I'll just make my own church. And so now he was the head of his own church, Church of England. Isn't that handy? And the Queen of England, even to this day, the Queen of England is the head of that church, because anyone that's the monarch is the head of that church too. So on and on you go. That's just one example of a myriad we could give you. The spiritual mind wants to conform to the Lord's vision. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. See? To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded, see, I want to conform to the Lord's will. And that's what I need to do, and that's what I must do. And that's why I say this message not only needs to be for me, that is, I need to take it in, but I also need to tell it to people. And I need to tell them, I need to raise my children up, teaching them, like our example of one man and one woman for life. But I need to be teaching my children, listen, you don't steal from people. I need to be teaching my children, listen, don't lie to people. I need to be teaching my children, listen, you don't drink. And I need to be teaching my children things that you need to do. Listen, we need to be listening to God. Let's open up our Bibles and let's do what God says. And let's show them. And see, you don't start when they're here. You don't start when they're here. You start when they're here. See? Just when they're little babies, just real small. And you teach them then. You start teaching them then about those things. And you raise them up learning that. I'm not saying an adult can't learn. I'm saying if you want that instilled in the life of a child. You want your children making the same mistakes and the same things you did? I don't think so. I don't want it. If you want them to avoid that, and you want to avoid that those problems and avoid some of the pitfalls you went through, then bring them up learning God's Word. And yes, I'm talking to Christians when I'm saying that, because I think Christians, we have a big problem of thinking that, well, I've already learned it, and since my child's in this house, they must know it too. Wrong. Your child came to you just as ignorant as anything. And no, you didn't give birth to baby Einstein. And you didn't give birth to the smartest baby in the world. I'm sorry to say that didn't happen. What you did was you gave birth to a blank slate. And that blank slate needs to be filled with truth. Now, if you don't want to do that job, the devil's happy to do it. He's ready to. But we've got to be ready to do that. And like I said, it starts in the family and goes on from there, because where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. There we see the people perish. That's the end result. See, that's the difference. Some versions talk about cast off restraint. That's the beginning part. The people perish. That's the end result. So whichever way you want to go with this, it's true. But here's the last part, and I won't leave you hanging. The last part is this. He says, notice here there's a happy person. Whoso keepeth the law, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice the great contrast in just a short verse. He went from perishing to happy. He went from casting off restraint to, actually the word is, blessed. You're a blessed person. Now notice this, please. Jesus describes blessed in passages like Matthew chapter 5. We call it the Beatitudes. Remember Matthew 5 verses 3 to 12? There's the Beatitudes. Blessed is he. And all the things are blessed. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gate, into the city. Blessed, see, is the one that does his commandment. And I'm leaning on this because you need to understand there's a difference between blessed and happy. Did you know that? There's a difference between those two things. And while I understand the translators into English translated the word happy, but really, and some other versions do have blessed, really that's the point. Blessed, it's a blessed person. And so we need to define that. Because see, it's not, because happy is, I mean, it's fine to be happy, but happiness is usually based on what happens to me. Happy happens. See how they kind of go together? It's what happens to me. So I got a new toy, I'm happy. See that? Yeah. See, brother, the bigger the boy, the bigger the toys, right? So I got a bigger toy. And oh, am I happy? Yeah. I already had something. He has something right now to make me happy. And I said, I've got the trailer hitch and I'm ready to go. And he didn't like that idea, because if I get happy, he probably won't be. Happiness is based on what happens to you a lot of times. You know what? So if you do something that makes me happy, then I am. If you do something that makes me sad, then I am. It's all on the outward experience. Blessed is not based on what happens to you. Blessed or blessed is that which is actually from within. It's the difference between happiness and joy. You can be a joyful person even when bad things happen. Do you know that? You can have bad things happen and miserable things and sad things, but at the end of the day, you still have joy. Okay? How do you do that? Because you realize you're a blessed person. It's not what happens to me on the outside. It's not what someone does to me or doesn't do to me. It's what's within. True contentment, then. Here he says, whoso keeps the law, happy or blessed is he. True contentment is knowing that I'm pleasing God. You remember Acts chapter 5, 40 to 41, when it says that the apostles, though they were first threatened with death, finally they said they just took them out and beat them. Acts 5, verse 40 and 50, when they took those apostles and they beat them. It says they left that place. They left the Sanhedrin and they went back out into Jerusalem. And they left there, and when they did, they said they rejoiced. Now what in the world would make you happy about being beaten to death? Or being beaten near to death? What would make you happy? Not one thing. There's not one thing pleasurable. There's not one thing that you'd say, boy, I wish I could do that too. They rejoiced. Keep reading. Because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were worthy to suffer for Christ. That's why they rejoiced. The joy was from within. The joy was not what happened to them. The joy was in the fact, the contentment was found, because I'm doing God's will. And whenever I do God's will, somebody may not like it, I know, but I'm going to take joy because God is pleased. That's the point we miss many times. We're not worried about whether God's pleased. We're worried about whether or not man's pleased. Get back and let's go to what God thinks. What does God think about this? How can I be described as happy or blessed? How can I be a blessed person? He says, you keep my law. Obedience to what we know. Even if it's not necessarily what I want. You know, there's some things in the Bible that the Bible tells me to do that I might not want to do. But I do it because I love the Lord. I do it because I want to please God. I do it because I want to be right in the sight of God. And I know that what God has told me is for my betterment, even if I don't see it right now. It's kind of like parents to children. You know, a lot of times parents tell your children to do things, and there's sometimes when they're little, you tell them to do things, and they smart off, and why? Listen, because I said. And you know that's enough. You know why I told you to do that? I told you because I said to do it. And you better do it. Okay? And you say, oh, that's awful mean. No, it's not mean. You got to teach your children and raise them up understanding there's such a thing as authority. And if they're not raised up respecting the father that they have seen, how are they going to respect a father they hadn't seen? Number two. Whenever we're raising them up in that way, then they, as they get older, then we explain things. See, the little mind can't handle a lot of explanation. It's just the way they are. They can only take pieces at a time. But as they put those pieces together, then you explain more as they get older. And you might wonder why I told you that. Well, this is why I told you. And you explain it. This is what I want. That's what it is. That makes perfect sense. It wouldn't have made perfect sense to you at a younger age, but it makes sense now. That's what I told. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. The Lord's kind of like that with us. Jesus says, there's some things I need to tell you and you can't handle them right now. Remember that? Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. What does that mean? Here's God saying, listen, there's some things you can't handle sometimes, and then you can. To the apostles, there's a time you couldn't handle some of this, but there will be a time when you can. It's called maturity. Sometimes with me and God, I need just to accept what He says. I don't know why He said it, I can't answer why. I'll probably never answer why. Somebody says, why is baptism necessary for the remission of sins? I don't know. You know that? I don't know. I know He said it. I know it's a command. I know I need to do it. But what is it about going into water and taking a person and putting them down in the water and raising them up out of the water, and it was just water, it's just H2O, and you just put them down in there, and you got their body wet, and you've completely submerged them underneath and brought them back up. What does that act, physically or whatever, spiritually, have to do with sins? And how can you take an earthly body and put them in physical water, and that affect the spiritual side of a man? How does that do that? I don't know. But I know it works. I know it's what the Lord said to do. I know it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I know there is connection with the blood of Christ. There's no question about that. But how does all that work together in that moment? And Colossians chapter 2 talks about the operation of God and the operation that's done without hands. How does that happen? I don't know. But I know it does it. And I know when it does it. Sometimes we just have to take what God says and accept it. You know what? And that's not blind faith, and that's not whatever. That's trusting in a God who loves you and says, listen, I want to take care of this, and you worry about the things you can worry about, and I'll worry about the rest. In fact, you should give all your worry to me, 1 Peter 5. And so, we keep God's law. What produces a spiritual mind? Well, he talks about that. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. What causes a spiritual mind or brings about the spiritual mind? Spiritual mind comes from obeying God's law. Just like we started at the very beginning of this last couple sermons. It's by going to God's Word, knowing what He says, and following it, that's going to be the blessed person. And again, not because it means everyone's going to be happy with you that you became a Christian. But I'll have that inward joy. I'll have that contentment. You know what? I'll have the contentment to carry on and do what the Lord says, even if that means people don't like it, even if that means I die at a young age, even if that means I get sick, even if that means even if. I just do what the Lord says, and there's going to be blessedness and contentment that comes from it. You know what? But the problem is we have a world and we have a society that's cast that off. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Cast off restraint, the people perish. Now, remember, the people perish. Now go back to Romans 8:6 again. I told you it all connects. Romans 8:6, what does it say? To be carnally minded is what? Death. There's that death again. The people what? Perish. There it is. So we see the necessity. And I'll go ahead and stop. But we see the necessity of doing what the Lord says. We see the necessity of being right in the sight of God for the blessings that comes to us as well as a nation, our city, our county, our society. It's what happens. And it's a wonderful thing. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about God's plan of salvation, though. Because God's plan of salvation is revealed in the Scriptures. And we need to know what He says. We need to believe what He says. And we need to follow that. And so here we are, even this morning. And if you're not a child of God, and you need to make your life right with God and do so, do it without delay. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, based on what's been taught, based on what's been said, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can be a Christian. You can be a child of God, and belong to Him, to follow Him, and to serve Him, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be that blessed person with that true joy that comes from God, and to serve and follow Him all the days of your life. Maybe you've done those things initially, but you've fallen away. You're not living as you should. You're not doing right. And you know you're not doing right. You need to correct that. You need to repent. You need to confess those things. And you need to pray God to forgive you. We stand ready and willing to pray with you, to pray for you. The Bible says God will forgive you. And you can be welcomed back to the fold and back on that straight and narrow pathway that leads to life everlasting. Think seriously about these things. If you're subject in any way to the gospel call, make your way forward right now while we stand and sing.